Okay, so now we're going to do halacha gimel. Okay, amru chachamim, shalosh averot nifraim min adam ba'olam hazeh, ve'en lo chelek olam haba. There are three mistakes that a person makes, three transgressions that you get paid for in this world, and you have no chelek in olam haba. Okay, avodat kochavim, gilui areot, ushrichut damim. Okay, these are the three biggies of all the things. Right, these are the three biggies: idolatry, licentious, adulterous behavior, and murder. The lashon hara keneged kulam. Lashon hara, speaking lashon hara, is as bad as doing all three of these. Do you understand? That's an unbelievable statement. Like, you could sit at a table, and someone did something wrong. I don't know. Two guys are in the middle of a fight, right? And I saw this a couple times, or I sensed this a couple times in the yeshiva. You know, you had two guys got into a tiff or something was going on, and before you knew it, the whole yeshiva was talking about it. And it basically became a lashon hara fest. Horrendous. I want you to be better to take a day and to send everybody to just spend a day of bittul Torah. You go to the beach and you go to the Golan and you buy ice cream and you whatever, and just waste a day of Torah. Can you imagine? Like, a yeshiva saying, better not to learn Torah than to have a lashon hara fest in yeshiva. You know, it's a very, very hard thing to stop. Like, somebody comes to you and says, did you hear what, you know, so-and-so, how do you stop that? Like, you're in campus next year. Believe me, this is everywhere. And there are people who have huge social challenges just from this type of thing. So somebody comes, he starts telling you, lashon hara, what do you do about it? Practical question. What do you do about it?
I don't care.
Pardon?
Yeah, I don't care.
No, but he's talking to you.
I think it depends on the person.
How do you stop him from listening?
I think it depends on the person, your relationship choice.
Okay.
I mean, if it's a person you just met and have no relationship at all and they're telling you lashon hara, I don't know if it's so appropriate, but sorry.
Well, theoretically, you just whether you have less relationship to cause harm to you by saying, sorry, I can't listen to this.
If you create the paradigm, look, sometimes you're the person trying to get to know someone else, and sometimes you're the person someone else is trying to get to know. Like, let's say you're on campus, and it's clear you have a few friends, and someone comes over, and he wants to kind of get into the chevra. So he needs a conversation piece. Lashon hara is a great conversation piece. You got some good lashon hara on a teacher, that's awesome, right? Okay? So he starts talking. And you don't want to embarrass him, it's uncomfortable, but you don't want to sit and listen to lashon hara. So what do you do about that, yeah?
You say to them, you say, one second, if you continue to speak, retribution will be exacted for both of us in this world, and we'll be denied a place in the world to come.
That could do it, right?
Or you just take care of yourself and you pretend you have a call.
I suppose, but it's Shabbos, yeah?
What if you just kind of, like, if you don't have a relationship yet, maybe it's best to just try to, like, tune it out and almost, like, think of something else in your head. When you're at the relationship level where you're ready to give a tochacha, I don't know if you can necessarily do that yet.
So I'll tell you three things. First of all, we once had Rav Tursky over to our house for Shabbos lunch, okay? He used to live on our block in Efrat. I've told you about Rav Tursky, so you have an idea of who he is. And we were having a conversation, and at one point he said, let's talk about more pleasant things. He just, like, injected that into the conversation, and I suddenly realized that we were speaking Rechilas. Right? I don't remember what it was we were talking about, right? But it sneaks in so naturally. And I was like, and so we switched the topic. So first of all, it stuck with me because I thought that was such a great line. Let's talk about more pleasant things, right? Second of all, it occurred to me that I could be sitting at a table, my Shabbos table, with Rav Tursky, and we could be talking with Chilas. Blew my mind. So that's the first thing. You have to find a way to switch the topic without embarrassing somebody. And this is worth practicing. Let's talk about more pleasant things. Well, you know, I don't know about that, but I have an interesting... You have to try as best you can not to be a part of the lashon hara. And by the way, you will develop a reputation for someone that is no fun to gossip with. And it will cost you. I promise you it will cost you, but it'll be worthwhile.
I mean, what if you have like a girlfriend or something, she just wants to vent to you, but like
your
friend
did,
like, deny her that?
Yeah. I mean, I was in that situation. It's a very difficult situation.
It is.
It's a very difficult situation. And it could be, you know... No, so one second. If someone is coming to ask you for advice.
No, not advice.
Right. But if it's just to vent, unless you're married, very difficult question. When you're married, that's a different question. And in the first years of our marriage, I used to ask my wife all the time when this type of topic would come up, you know, just think for a second, because if you think I need to hear this or you need my advice, whatever, I'm in. But if you think you don't need to, so then we shouldn't, right? And she would think about it, and then she would tell me whatever she would tell me. Absolutely affected my perception of people. Absolutely. But there is room in halacha to say that a person sometimes needs someone to share with, and you're not really spreading it if you're sharing it with your wife. Because ishtoke gufo. If you have a negative... What's the reason lashon hara is problematic? Because if you have a negative opinion of someone, and he doesn't, so if I share lashon hara with him, now he's getting a negative opinion of someone. There's no reason for that. But when you're married, if you have a negative opinion towards someone, if you have stuff with someone, your wife's going to have stuff with them anyway. Because you're married. You're in the same relationship. It's just... It's not really possible for you, unless you're a tzaddik, and I'm not a tzaddik, but maybe tzaddikim can do this. I don't know if it's possible for you to have a negative perception of someone, to know that they've done terrible things, and for your wife not to sense that. So maybe that's why it could be less sort of an issue. And even then, I'm very careful. Like, you know, for example, in the course of running this yeshiva, people come and tell me all sorts of things. I have conversations with you guys, I have conversations with Madrichim. I don't bring that stuff home. I don't want my students or Madrichim or anyone to feel that if they bare their soul to me, you know, that they should be uncomfortable sitting at my Shabbos table. Don't want that. So I don't tell my wife those things. She doesn't need to know them. There's no reason. If I need to have that discussion, I have Rebbeim I can talk to. I can talk to Scott. I can talk to Rabbi Aaron. Why do I have to weigh that down on her? In very, very rare circumstances where I'm struggling with an issue and I really don't know what to do and I need my wife's advice, so that's a different story. When it comes to a girlfriend, you have to ask yourself a different question. If you're in a relationship where there's no way to have that relationship without lashon hara, so then that should cause you to wonder. Like, that is that the kind of relationship you want? You want to build up the relationship. The other thing that you can do, by the way, and maybe you can't do this when she's in the middle of sharing, so you're going to have to suffer a little, but at least at some point when you're not in the middle of a moment like that, you can turn it into a discussion. So, you know, I was thinking a lot about that discussion that we had last week or whatever, and it bothered me. You know, on the one hand, it's lashon hara. On the other hand, you need to feel it. You can turn it into a discussion. At the very least, everybody gets more sensitive to the issue.
I mean, like, it's not even just like a girlfriend. Like, that's a lot of people.
Let's say a person.
People, and although that can be problematic, like, you know, you have a really good friend, you just need to talk to someone.
The theme is the same. Let's say you have a guy, and he comes back. I don't know. He's a soldier. He comes back from Iraq. He just needs to break things. So he walks into your room, you know, he's sitting in your house, and just like, you see something's getting worked up. You heard the news. So he picks up a vase and he smashes it against the wall. He says, "I know, I feel better," right? And then he comes into the visitor's bedroom, and he's just having a tough time because somebody's eating pita and hummus, and it reminds him of, like, the car bomb that went off by the pita hummus place. So he walks over to the yard, and he smashes the door. So you look at the guy, he says, something wrong with him. He needs help. So you say to me, yeah, look, he's been through a tough time. He needs to destroy a little. He's not hurting a person. So don't get me wrong. I'd rather a guy break a vase than break somebody's head. But that's not healthy. So what the Rambam is saying, what Halacha is saying, what Judaism is saying is, this is even worse. You'd be better off breaking a vase than just lashon haraing because you need to lashon hara. You have to find a way in your life to turn that into positive. There are people in your life that you can vent with. By the way, I think that's part of a selach harav. Like, when someone comes to me to tell me a story, so I try very hard to ask them, and we do this as madrichim all the time, right? Don't tell me who we're talking about. Tell me the story, and I'll tell you if I need to know who it is. Because sometimes a person has a question and they want advice on how to deal with a particular issue, and I don't need to know who it is. There was a boy, he was up till 3 o'clock in the morning last night, he was watching his movie on his laptop, he's like exhausted today, what do you think we should do? I don't think that so much depends on who the boy is. I think there's standard advice. If that doesn't work and you really feel like I need to talk to him, so then I guess I have to know who it is. But half the time we have these discussions, I don't know who it is. Much healthier. Why should I walk it? Suppose I walk into Hilchos Deos and that same student is here and he's flying and he's having a, and I'm loving learning with him. Why should I walk in that morning with a negative perception because he was watching movies at night? Why do I need to know that? So better to err on the side of caution. Mm-hmm. Right? Okay? So, but this blows my mind. Like, we can talk about this, and I think most guys who leave yeshiva at some point in their year have had some discussion like this, and now they know the lashon hara is out there. I don't think that we realize how serious it is. It's unbelievable how you can destroy a person by saying the wrong things. And it's incredible how many people in this world don't even think about that. They walk around and they badmouth people and they speak negatively and they dress people down and they cheapen their self-worth. You can really destroy a human being. And when you find yourself, like, ask yourself this: over the last few days, have I spoken rechilas or lashon hara or motzi shemra, which is not true? Like, bad, that's not true, about any other person. And what do I do about that? Like, can I fix that? Did I really need to do that? And when you get to that, this is like a significant portion of the al chaitz that we see on Yom Kippur are about speech, lashon hara, rechilus, right, matzi shem, all these types of things, right? Vodam ru chachamim, and further chachamim said, kol ha-mesaper b'lashon hara ki'ilu kofer b'ikar, she-nemar asher amru l'lshonenu nagbir shvatenu itanu mi adon lanu, right? In other words, a kofer b'ikar is someone who denies a basic principle of Judaism. Why do you think somebody who speaks Lashon Hara is denying a basic principle of Judaism just because it's an important mitzvah? Why do you think that is? Like, if you wear shatness, so that's not a good thing to do. And personally, I think it's silly because it's such an easy mitzvah to keep, but you're not kofar b'ikar. You're a religious Jew who wears shatness. Okay. Right? But this is kofar b'ikar. You're denying a basic principle of Judaism. Right?
Is it because in Shmiras Halashon, Chofetz Chaim talks about how many other mitzvahs you're over when you speak Lashon Hara or Rechilus, like you Avdilar HaKamocha, and I mean that's called Gadol B'Torah. So if you're over on all these other things, including like Teleach B'Darko or whatever, you should go all do all those together, add up into being like the.
So you could say it's a numeric, but that never made sense to me. I mean, the Gemara talks about this. It's true. The Chofetz Chaim comes up with 40 something. I think it's 46 different prohibitions and mitzvot that you're mevatel that you can make with one sentence. Like, I remember when I was studying Shmiras Halashon the first time, so it was fun. I sat with a chavrusa, and we tried to come up with a sentence that would have the most isurim in one sentence. And you know what? It wasn't hard to do. Right? But I think it's more than that, yeah?
I mean, if you believe in Hashem, and Hashem is controlling everything, and he's all part of us, and there's oneness in the universe, then you wouldn't try and downgrade your right hand to something beneath you. So you want to create a oneness in the world, and so therefore you're sort of denying Hashem in this world by speaking Hashem around.
Yeah, in other words, if you, two for two, if you, Shanabet, if you can speak Lashon Hara, there's a basic flaw in your relationship with Hashem. Like, it's not just a moment. You know, it's like when most chatayim are a moment. You steal something from someone. In that moment, you stole something. But then afterwards, like, you feel bad, you don't feel bad, whatever it is. You smoke a cigarette on Shabbos. So, in a moment, but later on, you're up on the roof for Vatikin, for Shavuot. You're not in that moment anymore. But a person who speaks Lashon Hara, a Rachil, he's in that moment all the time. So, Hashem really isn't in his life the way Hashem is supposed to be in his life. And by the way, here lies hidden the antidote to Lashon Hara. The antidote to Lashon Hara, to Rechilus, to all this stuff is very simple. It's Shiviti Hashem L'Negdi Tamid. You sit down at the lunch table, you're about to start a good conversation, you're with your buddies, you know, you're enjoying it. Is Akash Baruch at the table? Or are you sitting alone? If you can put Hashem into that equation, you will have a much harder time speaking Lashon Hara and Rechilus. But I just want to say that does not, notwithstanding Josh's question, because if you become then the paragon of virtue, and you're determined to stop all Lashon Hara at the table, you can also do some terrible chataim. It's not, this is not simple. You know, when you're in kindergarten, it's real simple. Just don't throw sand in your cupboard. You know what I mean? This is much more complicated. How to do this, how to keep this mitzvah without offending people, without, right? By the way, one of the goals is to become the person that people have a hard time speaking Lashon Hara around. You know, like if, I don't know, if I was sitting at the lunch table, and Rav Noam came to sit down next to me, it would be very hard for me to speak Rechilus, Lashon Hara. He just, it would be uncomfortable for him. He would, we wouldn't be able to do it, right? So, pardon? Absolutely. That's a healthy way to vent. That's a healthy way to vent. It's absolutely a healthy way to vent.
You can just say, like, instead of going up to, like, a friend and saying, like, all the problems you have with somebody, whatever.
You know what? Somebody gave me a really good piece of advice. Okay? Somebody gave me a really good piece of advice. There was a particular period of time in Lebanon, I was going through a really tough time. We lost a couple guys, and just very tense. And I got out on a rigila, and I went back to Gush to learn for a couple of days, whatever it is. And it was just really, I was just all wound up. I couldn't just sit in the basement. There was like a lot going on, and I was really, I wasn't going through, I don't think, post-traumatic stress, but I was very stressed out about it. And I was even angry. I was angry at, you know, what had happened. I was angry that, you know, Mechablim. And I was angry that there was a particular Mempe who had done things that I thought were wrong. And a couple guys got injured. I'll spare you all the details. So, like, I don't know what to do, but we're going to vent to somebody. Like, it's not whatever. Somebody gave me a great piece of advice. He said, you know what you need? You need to take a day and go out Bateva. He said, and don't go out with anybody else. Just spend the day on your own. Go hiking, go to Nachal, whatever. And he said, all the things that you never say, because you would never say them in public, cursing, yelling, whatever it is, go get it out of your system. So I thought it was a little crazy, right? And but it was a good piece of advice, and I realized I couldn't sit the base of Inish, so I got some good nash, and I got some kobanos, and I went down to En Gedi, and I did Nachal Arugot. I was all on my own. I think that's one of the only times I ever did a teal on my own. I'm not like the loner in the desert. I like company, right? And you know what? It was awesome. I foul filthed my way up Nachal Arugot, and I had myself an imaginary dialogue with my Mempeh, and I did a whole bunch of things, and I just got it out of my system. And nobody suffered. There was no Lashon Hara. Right? So if you would have seen me, you would have thought I was out of my mind. You would have thought I needed psychological help. But like, I was a balanced person. I just needed to vent a little. So I vented to Akash Baruch Hu. That's basically what I was doing. And you know what? It was healthy. So I wouldn't make a habit of walking out into the mountains every day and screaming at God. But that's one level of his bodhidus. That's exactly what they used to do, the chassidim. They used to go into the forest, and they used to scream out to God, why are you doing this to the Jewish people? Why are you doing that to the Jewish people? You know what? You want to speak Lashon Hara? Speak it to Akash Baruch Hu. You'll be better off. Right? Because he doesn't have to spread it. Right? Yeah. And he already knows.
I heard that in England they have this thing where you basically, you pay $100 and they put you in like a room alone. You know, everything's like it's silent, like so only you can hear what you say. They put like a bunch of like glass stuff in there and you just like go in there and just like smash anything you want. Just like break everything, yell whatever you want. Just like a term of like, just like a way of like therapy.
That'd be a great idea to have it right, though.
Yeah.
The smash room.
I can really go for that right
now.
Yeah, that'd be a great...
If I won the lottery, I would spend a lot of it on just a really big house. That whenever I had money, I would just go break.
It's an idea. I once took Yonatan. Yonatan was going through a tough time. We were in Boca. And I don't remember what it was. There were some kids and picking whatever. So we found one of these baseball places where they have like batting cages and you hit balls. You know what I'm talking about, right? With like that machine that shoots it. It was awesome. We went there for like an hour and we just hit balls. It was great. And he loved it. He just, you know, I put it like a low speed and he started popping them out. Every time he hit the ball, you could just see he was getting rid of stuff. It was good. It was awesome, right? So, yeah, okay, right? Ve'odam ruch hachamim, we'll stop with this. Ve'odam ruch hachamim shlosha lashon hara horeget. There are three people that Lashon Hara destroys. The person who says it, the person who hears it, and the person about whom it's said. And that's before it even spreads. Now I want you to understand this. You think that you're a tzaddik, you're sitting at the table, you don't want to stop him, and he's speaking it. The one who receives it, who listens to it, is worse than the one who says it. Now I'm going to leave you with the question of why, because we're running late. Pardon? Why does it make a lot of sense?
Because the guy who's saying the Shonara already has the thought in his mind. The guy who's listening to it doesn't have the thought in his mind. Now he has a new thought.
Okay, maybe.
Or a confirmed thought by a friend that, you know, he didn't have before. The guy who's thinking about it already has the thought. So it's not
okay. That's part of it. I think it's more than that, but we'll get to it Bezrat Hashem tomorrow. Or not tomorrow. Sunday. All right.
What if you read a book?